Welcome to the podcast number 3.
Evening, afternoon,
wherever you
morning.
Are. Good morning.
Wherever you are around the globe.
I hope everyone's had a good week so far. And yeah, it's Friday today. Bring on the weekend. It's been another big week. How's your week been, Rube?
Yeah, it's been good. Been busy. Another couple of sessions with the spinal clinic. And also being Men's Mental Health and Families Week. So, yeah, just been sort of re-engaging with a couple of friends that I haven't talked to for a while. And, yeah, just sort of, you know, really focusing on mental health and, you know, highlighting the impact and it's part of your life, you know, your physical and your mental health go hand in hand. So, yeah, it's been good. Another, the weeks are flying. Already halfway through the year nearly, knocking on July. So,
yeah, it's crazy, isn't it?
It just goes, man. So, yeah. But, yeah, I sort of get through to Friday, and that's sort of Friday is my little bit of my Saturday, so it's really busy up till Thursday night. But, yeah, no, it's been good. Another successful week, so ticking the boxes, so it's good.
Very good. So this podcast is about you, Ruben.
Yes.
It's all about you.
My time to shine, yeah. My 2 minutes of fame. Well, it might be 20 minutes. We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, so the purpose of this podcast, yeah, just to give a bit of an introduction about Ruben and just to talk through a little bit of his upbringing and life and some of his challenges, and also looking towards the future as well. So we've come up with a list of 10 questions. So I think we'll just get straight into it. So our introduction for yourself, Ruby, yeah, we sort of said that before, but
yeah.
Let's go into sort of your upbringing at school. What tell us about your early days at school?
Yeah, so I went to a private school. My parents actually started it. It was a Christian based school through an American system called ACE. So I was all self taught. You had booklets, so your maths, your woodwork, your word, social studies, and whatnot, science, and you basically learned at your own pace, and you had teachers to assist. So that basically was the morning curriculum, and then the afternoon activities were sport, and later on towards high school got into woodwork, which sort of was quite an interesting situation because my woodwork teacher became my apprentice boss.
Oh.
So he was involved with the school, and his kids went to the school, and so that was sort of a little bit of a taste of working with wood and a bit of an introduction. And he was an awesome guy, Neville Graney. He's still swinging a hammer part time.
Really?
At the age of 72. Okay. So, yeah, good. So it was a small school, probably 50 to 60 pupils, but very, very good. Set me up really well. So I left school at the age of 15, actually. I had an apprenticeship to start. I was hoping to leave Christmas of 91 when I was still 14, and was asked by the principal to come back for 6 weeks until I actually turned 15 and started my apprenticeship on April 1st.
Is that even illegal? Legal?
No, it's legal if you've got an apprenticeship or a trade or something to go to, can actually get signed out. But this is going back into, you know, 92, so it's probably a little bit different now. But back then, you basically, that's why I had to come back till I actually turned 15.
Right.
So the principal didn't get in trouble, pretty much. So, yeah, it was pretty much 6 weeks of just twiddling thumbs, and then, had this apprenticeship ready to go, so kicked it off, and I did the, I actually started when I was 12, working on my school holidays for the builder as well, just labouring and swinging a hammer here and there, and when I got an opportunity, and basically I look back and try and work out where I got the bug to become a builder, and my dad and mum did a lot of renovations when I was growing up, so I think being around that environment with a renovated house for most of my childhood sort of gave me a bit of a taste and something I wanted to do. So I remember as probably age 7 or 8 I really wanted to be a builder from that age, so sort of the pathways led that way with linking in with Neville and woodwork and doing my holidays with him, and then bang into it. So Yeah, it was good. So I enjoyed, I've stayed in touch with a lot of my my school colleagues and, you know, pretty tight little school community. And we've all gone on and a few of them have stayed back in little town in Motueka near Nelson, top of the South Island. But a lot of them moved to bigger and brighter cities and around the world. So, yeah, it was good. Okay. It was good.
So apprenticeship, 15-year-old, you became an apprentice builder. So is that what you've done your whole life?
Yeah, yep. So at the age of 19, I did the old 8,000 hours, which is just under 4-year apprenticeship, tied in with Polytech, or they call it over here, TAFE. So I was learning on the job as well as going to school and learning through the apprenticeship as well. So ended that, had trade cert, and then I was qualified at the age of 19. And then that was, at the end of my apprenticeship, my boss actually retired from the game. So I was in a position to go and look for other work and picked up a job, 6-month contract with Department of Conservation, doing hut maintenance. And it was really fun. Got flying around in helicopters and worked 2 weeks away in the middle of the bush in the middle of winter. I remember one night I put every piece of clothing on I had and I was still shivering like a hypothermic, rodent in the middle of the bush. And it was a long, cold night, and we're in there for 2 weeks. So we transported a hut 5 kilometres up a valley, so we had to go and take it off its piles, cut it in half, and it was flown up by a llama helicopter. And basically when it came to site, we were underneath it with a helicopter attached to the hut, and we lowered this thing down with full blades.
Wow.
So that was pretty, adrenaline was running, and we basically had to position the hut as best we could on the piles, and then he went off and got the other half. So that was a lot of fun, and yeah, had a real good time doing that.
Okay. So you've got your qualifications wise, you're a certified builder?
Yep.
In New Zealand and Australia?
Yep.
And what other licenses or qualifications do you have?
Yeah, so when I was in Auckland, I got involved. A mate of mine was working for or doing training with Civil Defence. So it's a voluntary, pretty much the same as SES in Australia.
Okay.
So I did that for 7 years and became team leader towards the end of that. Basically had, we split, because we got probably 25 to 30 members and we trained every Tuesday night. And then once a month we'll do a day training, and we're involved. Any emergency, whether it be a lost child or flooding events or anything like that, natural disaster, we were called up to assist and put tarps on roofs and sort of extra hands for the emergency services we worked in under them. So a lot of it was based and trained through the USAR system, Urban Search and Rescue, which is an American... Okay. Standardized system. So every rescuer around the world is basically trained under this umbrella. So if you got flown to another country to search in an earthquake, you've got the same skill set, and awesome. You basically work, you know, you're marking buildings the same way, you're yeah. So it's searching buildings.
Global standard.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And we trained under that. So yeah, nice. I'm actually a qualified international responder. Wow. And could go anywhere in the world if I got called up. So that's pretty
good man to have around.
Pretty good qualification. And, you know, it was really good just to learn new skills too and be around like-minded people too, you know. We really had a lot of fun and
yeah.
It was a very good environment. You know, we trained and learned together, but we also had fun. One of the guys was into abseiling. He was in another search and rescue team as well, and he used to coordinate sort of Saturdays and drop-down waterfalls abseiling and whatnot. So
nice.
It was cool. It was good. It was good. A lot of fun. Also a truck license. I managed to tick that box in 2012.
Yep.
I tried to do that when I was 18 and sort of overlooked that I'd have to reset my driver's license before I had set the truck license, and I got 1 point too many and ended up giving that a miss. So I ended up coming back to it in 2012, and now I've got my HR license, and then toward the end of this year I'm looking at getting my MC, which is multi-combination, so okay. your double Bs, which wow. is good. So yeah, just carry on with that.
Is that something you'd like to potentially do, is to drive trucks?
Definitely. I think in the future, probably do it for a season, you know. It's be fun to do. It's my landlord at the moment is a water delivery company, and he's asked if I wanted to do a bit of driving in the future, so just to rack up some experience. So okay. I'll definitely be taking that up for a bit of a look as well. So
hopefully you're not one of those annoying truck drivers though, man. The truck drivers that I come across on the roads, they sit on your tail and they follow really closely,
yeah.
And they're highly annoying.
They are. It's so very.
Please don't be one of those drivers.
It's very interesting. In Australia, these truckies are on a time schedule and they will just keep going. They just go burn past you. Yeah. Sitting on 110, and next thing a big double B goes straight by.
Oh, they fly.
They just go.
Yeah.
And they are.
And they don't stop.
A big, big unit.
Yeah.
You know, so. Yeah, you know, and it's actually quite interesting sitting in a cab and watching how many cars actually cut you off as well. You know, like you've got a
yeah.
lot of weight
yep.
to haul up.
I think it goes both ways.
Big
yeah.
time.
Yeah.
That, I agree with John, there's a lot of guys over here, especially in Australia, that, you know, they are driving pretty crazy and reckless
yeah.
With a big machine. So
yeah.
some nasty accidents have happened in the last couple of years too.
I think, yeah, a lot of people driving cars, a lot of tourists who comes over here, they don't really
yep.
understand that you have to give trucks a bit of space.
Yep.
It's all about defensive driving, isn't it?
It is. It is.
So, you
being
know,
aware of rock around you. But they creep up on you. I've been on the motorway and next thing you've got a big double B burning past, you know, and they just come up so quick.
Mm.
So, yeah,
okay.
they're huge.
All right, what else have we got on this list? So, we talked about your achievements. What are some defining moments you've had, such as one of them is your broken jaw, and the other, probably the major one, is your car accident. Why don't you explain that?
Yeah, so 2004, at a friend's little brother's 21st, and we were had a night at a bar, and we were walking down to the taxi stand, and there was a group of about 20 of us, and we're sort of just meandering on down the road in the footpath, and I looked back, and there was a bunch of guys had jumped out of a taxi for no apparent reason and started to attack a bunch of my mates, so sort of ran back and pulled a couple of the guys off, and in so doing, I got hit from behind with a king hit, so I didn't have
wow.
a chance to defend it, and took that hit, and I carried on trying to sort of break this up. Got to the sort of side of the road, and then the same guy came back and hit me from the other side, so I actually ended up with broken jaw on both sides. There was an ambulance bay 50 metres up the hill. They actually took us in, and they had to actually shut the roller door because these guys were high on methamphetamines at the time, and they were just out of their mind, and it just got crazy. So the ambulance guys actually had to shut down the station because these guys just wanted to try and keep on coming, and that was a crazy moment. You know, I'm always one to sort of, you know, jump in there and help. You know, help mates and stuff, and got to Auckland Hospital, and I got put in the waiting room. They wouldn't give me any painkillers for nearly 18 hours. I basically was going up to the counter every half an hour. I was in a lot of pain, and then I decided to go and use the toilet and have a look in the mirror and just see what was actually happening.
Yeah.
And physically grabbed my jaw, and you could rock it from left to right, and
wow.
the whole thing just moved, and I was like, this is pretty serious. So next morning, they finally took me in to do x-rays and taken down to Middlemore Hospital. Had to wait 3 days before I had surgery. And my jaw was, I've got two titanium plates in my jaw. The other break on my left-hand side is up near my ear, so they couldn't actually do surgery on it. Had to let that naturally heal. And I had my whole jaw wired for 3 months. So pretty much drinking through a straw for 3 months. So that was pretty crazy. Second one was a marriage relationship of 13 years. And it was an awesome time. Real nice girl that we met. And unfortunately, that didn't pan out right through. And that was sort of a start of my mental health journey, I suppose. hit the wall pretty hard with the loss of her and just the impact of, you know, losing a relationship, and my future pretty much stopped at that point. You know, becoming a dad, we had a property together and we're going to renovate and build a house, and you know, all those things you dream of and sort of work hard towards just all came to an end in a sudden moment. Came back to Australia, I was in London at the time, and had about 3 months of sort of 24-hour care from my family, you know, pretty much as black and white as it is on suicide watch. It was pretty hard and very dark place to be, and yeah, it was hopefully something I don't have to go and visit again, and I'm glad I'm out the other side and got my friends and family especially to thank for getting me through that. Learn a lot about, you know, your own struggles and your strengths as well to get you back into life, and that was the start of a journey. Middle of 2010, I moved back up to Brisbane and got some work with my little brother, just doing flexible air conditioning ducting, making it in a big warehouse. Did that for 3 or 4 months and then finally got back into the building game. Yeah, it was a big moment. There's number two, and probably number three would be a car accident I had in 2016 on the way to my older brother's place. He was 20 minutes from where I was staying down in New South Wales, and unfortunately a lady lost control on quite a tight bend, wet road, and T-boned me on my side of the road. So that was sort of the end of my building career at the moment. Obviously end up with a L3 L4 compression in my lower back, broken sternum, broken ribs, thoracic, neck, ankle, shoulder, you name it, head to toe was pretty beaten up. So 3 days in Tweed Hospital, and then my recovery has been ever since that moment. And thank goodness at the moment I'm avoiding having to have back surgery, and I'm heavily involved in getting my recovery on track, doing Pilates, hydro, gym, and you know, basically my full-time job now is my recovery, so we're going really well. I got involved with the Griffith University doing a study on chronic pain and whiplash, and we're into week 18, so we're on to the better part of it. Had 10 weeks with a psychologist, an hour each week, which was really good, just to sort of process, talk to him, bounce ideas off, with the impact of fighting the legal system with third-party insurance, and now I'm into the treatment with a spinal clinic, which has been really good. So yeah, that was sort of an unexpected moment. You know, I mean, making the phone call to my brother after I got out of my vehicle and literally dragged the lady who hit me to the side of the road. She was still unconscious when I went to her vehicle, and we're on a blind corner. I knew if we didn't clear the road with ourselves, it could get a lot worse. And yeah, it was just a crazy moment. And rung my brother and said, unfortunately, I've been involved in a car accident, and I won't be coming to yours today. I'm on my way to hospital. So yeah, it was mad. So yeah, I've learned a lot about what your body can take, and but what your mental strength can be too, and pushing through the pain to get your recovery going. And I'm really looking forward to the future with that, and the progress has been really, really good. So yeah, it's good. So recovery is on track, and yeah, my goal is to get back into the building game, and you know, I'm not done with it yet, whether it be off the tools later in the year, and we'll just see where that's going to take. So
okay.
Yeah, it's good.
Good stuff, Rube. So along the yeah, so you've had quite the journey.
Yeah.
been a hell of a journey, mate, but you've come out definitely stronger. And that's a real credit to you. So in terms of so let's sort of look towards the future. What are some of the goals, you know? What are some of your goals for the next, you know, say 6 months, and then sort of, you know, 5 to 10 years?
Yeah, nice. So my 6-month goal is to wrap up this insurance third party claim, get that out of my life. Sort of, it's been rolling, it's in its third year now, and it's be good to sort of get that out of my life and be able to move on. So that's sort of my goal. Hopefully by Christmas we're done and dusted with it. In the meantime, I am looking in July to start studying for a disability support role. Okay. At the start, I'm just keen to volunteer for it, but get the qualifications. You can do a 3-month course. So that's going to be me getting back into study and getting that. Something I've always been quite passionate about. I used to see a lot of people with disabilities and really have a soft heart for them. You know, they do life with an amazing attitude and they do it tough, but you know, they get all, you know, they get through life and I'd like to be involved in that, you know, and sort of, you know, pass on some of the things I've been with. And obviously I'm in a position now where I'm, you know, you put me under the umbrella of being disabled as well with my back injury and stuff. So it's good. So that's my goal with study. And then I'm looking at relaunching the business, hopefully in the start of 2019. So want to get, at the moment I'm renovating, restoring my builder's trailer. I bought one 2 years ago and stripped it out, and I'm getting it redesigned the way I want to do it, and going to get back in there and re-advertise towards the end of the year. And I've still got clients that I've held on to and whatnot, so I'll probably be on the more off the tools at the start and then see how the recovery goes and hopefully swing a hammer again eventually. So right.
From the work I've seen you do, mate, you've got a real talent there. So
yeah, it's good. I really miss it.
Detail.
I really miss it. Yeah. So and then also looking at investing in some property in Australia. So putting some feelers out, looking at some property prices and different options. My parents got a pretty cool setup. They live off grid. Converted a big shed, 20 by 10 metre shed, and that's probably something I'll look at as well. My goal is to try and do something that's really low cost, but functional. You know, I'm not one to sit on a, you know, $1.5 million mortgage just to have a mansion of a house, you know.
Yeah.
I want something that's functional and something that I can use it as base and then set up and other people can, you know, if they need a place to stay for a while or just hang out or, you know, put some stuff, then I'll be able to do that because I've had that help through my journey as well. So, yeah, that's sort of a bit of a carrot at the end. I've renovated 2 properties in my my time, so it'd be really cool to get back in the property ladder and and as John knows, you know, homework is key and research and finding, you know, that bargain that's out there. So that's going to be my next 6 months.
Very exciting. Around.
Yeah, it's going to be good, man. So looking forward
very
to that.
Good. Well, that's a hell of a story, Rube.
Yeah.
It's, for you to come out where you are now is a real credit to you. And I know the future is going to be really good for you. And you can achieve some great things. So
yeah, definitely. And the thing is, you learn through everything you go through. There's always a silver lining. There's always someone that's doing harder than you. There's, you know, a lot you can learn with your character. You know, it might be a rubbish time that you're having at the moment, but you'll always take something out of it. You know, you'll learn, you know, some strength, some resilience, you know, how to deal with an email that you didn't want to see, you know, that impacts you for the next 6 months. But you also learn to keep on going, to keep fighting, to get up every day, set yourself goals, focus on where you want to be. You know, your immediate today might not be where you want to be, and you don't have to stay there. You know, you can set goals, you know, the end of the week, the end of the month, 6 months, a year's time.
Yeah.
And that's what, that's the drive that you use to keep yourself going, the motivation. You look at, you know, where you want to be. It's not where you are now. So
that's right.
I've learned a lot about that.
Your current situation doesn't...
No, and the seasons too. Yeah. They don't last forever.
That's right.
You know, nothing that you're in now will be going on for the next, you know, 10, 20, 30 years because it can't, you know, things change.
So what's your best life quote?
So my one that I've always sort of fallen back on, got it as an apprentice working with different builders and stuff, and they were always in my ear saying, you'll do a 4-year apprenticeship, you'll become a qualified builder, but always have the attitude that you'll learn something off someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And vice versa, you know, you'll come along and you've got a way of doing something that someone else hasn't seen, and it's quicker and a faster and a more efficient way, and vice versa, you know. And I've been on many, many building sites and worked with many, many different people, and you learn a lot by seeing how other people work and how they deal with stress. And I always have a couple of builders that I've always looked up to. One of them is my mate Nathan in Auckland, and he got me a start in London. We did 4 years up there together, and he's always just pushed the pushed the envelope, always done really good work, had a good relationship with his clients, and he's sort of been a bit of a role model for me with where I've gone with my business and stuff too. So yeah, that's probably mine. You know, you never stop learning, and you'll learn till the day you die, you know, and that's a good approach to life, you know. Never think you know it all.
That's it.
Yeah, just be humble.
Don't be a know-it-all. Yeah.
Be humble, yeah. And
listen,
yeah.
People, you know, can always learn something off someone.
We all know someone that's, you know, thinks they know it all, and, you know, yeah, we don't.
They're normally in a train wreck.
So. Yeah, that's it. So, yeah, keep on learning. Keep on learning. Very that's good. Why I like to try and, you know, achieve something every year with study or an achievement. So, yeah.
Awesome.
Truck license, the second part will be my big tick towards the end of the year as well. So
fantastic.
It's good.
Well, thanks for sharing that, Ruben.
Thanks, yeah. Thanks for having the opportunity to share a little bit of my journey. And, you know, the years, I'm 41 now and got a lot of life still to live, and really looking forward to the future.
Awesome.
It's good.
Well, thanks for that, and thank you to the listeners for listening, obviously, and we hope you liked it. And remember to like and comment on our Facebook and Instagram. Could be a new company, Facegram. Facegram.
Yeah.
The new face of social media.
John's patent that one. Trademark. It's Facegram.
Facegram. Please visit our Facegram page.
Facegram.com.
Awesome.
So, brilliant.
Thank you very much, and we'll talk later. Ciao.
Ciao.